What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 72 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can always follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We're presented, as always, by TalkLoudRadio.com and streaming at you live every Tuesday and Friday nights right here on Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch. And as always, streaming in the Going for Two app. All right, guys, we've got my two co-hosts here tonight. So we got the gang back. Mr. Gersten, how you doing tonight, man?
I am doing excellent. What a hell of a trade deadline.
Yeah, it was insane, man. It was insane. And Tim, we got you over there too, man. What's up, Tim? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, sir. Looking forward to breaking down this slate.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one with all these damn trades. It's going to be hard to figure out who's even playing that tomorrow and who's like got to pass physicals and everything else. So it should be an interesting one.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and get into some of these trades before we get into the actual DFS slate here, just to kind of talk about the values of some of these guys if they went up or went down when you know, these guys moved teams. And the first one I got on here is the Magic getting Markelle Fultz. Of course, he really didn't work out so well in Philadelphia. He gets traded, and then they pick up Jonathan Simmons and a couple draft picks. With these two guys, Markelle Fultz in Orlando, do we think he gets any value bump if he gets back on the court eventually? And then Jonathan Simmons coming to the Sixers, does he even see the floor at all, Gerson?
No, I don't think so. The owner already came out and said that this is going to be a slow process bringing him along, that this is more of a long-term plan. So he has no value for me. And Jonathan Simmons, well, I'm not playing a guy that went and paid $20 to try out for the San Antonio Spurs and then got paid, but yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think any of them are going to have any kind of immediate value in DFS. Maybe eventually when Markelle Fultz finds his way back to the court, maybe. Jonathan Simmons is just a guy to me. He's just going to be there to, you know, in case there's injuries or whatever, so I agree with you on that one. Let's go. Tim, you got anything on that one you want to talk about before we move on to the next one?
No, I agree with you. I don't think either one has any interest on this slate.
All right. What about the Nets getting Greg Monroe? Raptors didn't really get anything. You know, they got future considerations for him or whatever. It was some kind of weird trade. But Greg Monroe in the Nets now. We think there's any value to Greg Monroe, Gerson?
No, he's going to be waived, though. He will have zero value.
He's getting cut. Okay, I hadn't heard that yet. I knew they picked him up, and he's been bounced around the league for quite a while there. I know he had some promise when he was with Detroit. He goes to Milwaukee as one of the top, you know, free agents that year and basically fell off a map after that. So, yeah, I can see that, just him just being a guy going somewhere. So let's get to the next one on my list. This one's a little bit more juicy. It's a guy we've kind of played a little bit whenever he gets the opportunity. And that's with Zubac going to the Clippers. Is there any value increase with Zubac going forward with him being in the Clippers uniform now? Tim?
It's so tough until we really see how much they're going to be part of the rotation. But I don't see any major change one way or the other now.
Gerson, what do you think of Zubac and in with the Clippers now?
I think, they let go of Boban, or they traded Boban away. So I think Zubac will have some value, maybe not in the next couple of weeks. I mean, not this week, maybe like in a couple of weeks where they – I mean, I think the Clippers right now, they know they're not going to make the playoff. I mean, they're in playoff contention, but they know they're not going to be able to beat all these teams later on in the season as the season progressed. So I think he can have some value down the road, but just not right now.
Yeah, I think I'm with you both as well. I think his value is basically what it was when he was with the Lakers, basically. It's the same kind of thing, so I agree. The big trade, really, that went down today was Marc Gasol going to the Raptors. You know, obviously they had Jonas Valanciunas. They traded him away, and Marc Gasol basically fills in for them. The Raptors are one of the top teams in the East. Does Marc Gasol gain value in this situation, or does he lose value, Tim?
I was going to say, I mean, it definitely makes the Raptors a contender. I mean, we were talking earlier that it's really them and the Sixers, but in terms of the DFS value, I don't know. I'd say it's probably similar. I mean, he's not going to have the usage that he had in Memphis, but he's probably going to have more opportunities, probably see, some better spots. So again, it's one we're going to have to monitor, but I wouldn't say his DFS value goes up or down drastically here.
Yeah, what about you, Gerson? You think Gasol is about the same value-wise?
I think it's going to depend on his price range. I mean, we know that when players usually, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings are pretty good. Like, you know, like if they know they're not getting that many minutes or usage or you know, points or whatnot. I mean, in good matchup, Gasol can be great, especially with that team. I think the Raptors are probably the favorite in the East for myself. And if they use him correctly, where he plays defense and distributes the ball very well all around, I think Gasol value can be very good in certain situations, maybe in high-paced game.
Yeah.
And that's why they traded for him. He's a leader. So overall, I mean, I've always think Gasol is one of the most underrated centers in the NBA. So
agreed. Yeah, I think I'm with you both there. I don't know if his value is up or down necessarily. I think it'll depend on, you know, how they decide to use him there, because they didn't really use Valanciunas, you know, for much as on offense. So if they tend to use him the same way, then it could be a downgrade for him. But if they're really going to feed him the ball and go to more half-court sets, then, yeah, he could definitely be a big addition to that team. I just got a couple more that have any kind of relevance to DFS. The Kings getting Harrison Barnes. He's been pretty terrible this year. They traded him away. He goes now to the Kings, you know, a fast-paced team. Is there any value? I mean, he's pretty cheap on FanDuel and DraftKings, so, you know, the next few games, he could have some value with that high-paced team. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I actually like this trade for the Kings. Obviously, there was some talk about how the trade went down and everything like that, but, I mean, they, you know, obviously they were willing to take him on. I think he works well, you know, it's going to work well in that lineup. So he's only, I mean, I don't know necessarily about this slate, but I definitely think he's somebody that you can look at moving forward because, like you said, Kings play a lot of high-paced games, tend to be really high-scoring games. He's not somebody that I expect to be really high-priced. And so, you know, depending on how they use him there, man, I think he could have some upside in Sacramento.
Yeah, what about you, Gerson? What do you think of Harrison Barnes there in Sacramento?
Hey, I got to go do another podcast in the middle of this, so I'm back. You know, I think I got traded to another podcast. So, you know, I thought it was fucked up, dude, what they did to him. I mean, that's messed up. And I love what LeBron said about it, but I think Barnes is just going to be more of like a – kind of like a role player, you know, just one of those – because right now the Kings, they're so – they're one of the most confusing teams to play, like DFS-wise.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it all depends matchup because – De'Aaron Fox, when he's in a great high-paced matchup. And it sucks because the last time we did a podcast, it was the Kings versus Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And he fucking sucked. Like, yeah. He was so bad. Like, I was, like, so heavy on him, too. And he just let me down. But he could have some values in certain spots. Again, it's going to be salary-dependent. But I think he's going to be starting. So, I mean, that Kings team is going to make the playoff. And they're going to be pretty... I think they're going to be pretty, you know,
they're
not
exciting.
Great, but
they're tough. Exciting. Yeah, they're an exciting team, and they kind of remind me of, and it's still kind of the same there, but the Nets, they kind of have a bunch of guys that play about 20, 25 minutes. Their bench goes really deep. They, you know, for DFS purposes, it kind of sucks because you don't know who's getting the minutes that night. And this Harrison Barnes thing kind of throws a wrench in it as well. It just makes it even more confusing. Like, who do you play each night? Because they go so deep, and it's just whoever has the hot hand tends to get the more minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so another big one we got here is the Wizards. They traded away Otto Porter. Of course, they had the news break with John Wall. Going to miss another year because he slipped and ruptured his Achilles again. Terrible news for Wizards fans. And so the Wizards get Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker. Any value changes on either of these three guys, Tim?
I mean, I'm obviously kind of interested to see how they use Otto Porter. I mean, to go out and get him like that, I think it should be interesting. But I haven't really been playing either one of those guys. I mean, Bobby Portis is a guy. I used him because they played him a lot. So it's obviously depending on the fact that they play him a lot as well. So that's kind of what I'm going to be interested in. But I think Otto Porter... I mean, obviously, he has, you heard Garrison laughing there. He has terrible games, you know, he has bad games, but, you know, I think he's somebody that if they're going to give him plenty of minutes, he's definitely going to have some value. So,
yeah, Garrison's over there hopefully, just dying to talk about Porter.
I can tell. I just think Otto Porter had the funniest check in the pool of all time. If you notice, Otto Porter forget to play defense. He, like, literally. And I there used to be a very funny like video on YouTube about this guy. It's just random guy just made a YouTube video. He just makes it look like a story. I could never find it, but the way Shaq said it too, like Otto Porter forgot how to play defense or something like that. But I don't mind Otto Porter. I think he's a peripheral player. And with the Bulls, he's going to get a lot of usage. And this Bulls team is just, they're tanking, but they're not going to, I mean, Eddie's praying that they get a top three pick or something like that, or get Zion. But I think this is great for Otto Porter for his fantasy value. But I always feel like, maybe it's just me, but I always feel like Otto Porter's priced up, man.
Yeah, it always seems that way. I agree. What about the other side with Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker going to the Wizards? Anything value there? I think they got rid of Markieff Morris. He's now gone from that team. Obviously, John Wall's still gone. They basically just have Bradley Beal and a bunch of scrubs. So Jabari Parker will probably get a ton of usage. Portis will probably see a ton of minutes as well. Any value increases there, you think, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, assuming that Portis is going to kind of take on that four off the bench role in Washington, that role's had some real value. I mean, we've seen guys like, you know, get they're close to 30 minutes in that role, 26, 28, 30 minutes in that role. So if we're going to see anything like that and he's going to get the type of usage that he was getting in Chicago, I definitely think he's going to be interesting, at least until his price comes up. So, you know, like I said, all the guys that we're talking about here, I think are probably at least somewhat risky to play on this first slate. But moving forward, we're going to, you know, monitor their usage, and there might be some edge to get there before the prices catch up to them.
Agreed. And the last one I got here is probably the biggest one that happened. It actually happened, I think, yesterday was Tobias Harris going to the Sixers. Obviously, a huge move there, helps their team out tremendously. What do you think of his value now, though? Because with those Clippers teams, he was, you know, in a high-paced game. They were playing, you know, in the West a lot, so they were, you know, having to score a ton of points. And, you know, now that he's with the Sixers, it's not quite the same in the East as it is in the West. What do you think of Harris now, Gerson?
I think his value goes down. I mean, he'll get less usage, less shot. He'll still get, like, rebounds, assists, and steals and whatnot, what he's good at. I mean, I actually think Tobias was really a good fit for the Clippers. For the Philadelphia 76ers, I don't mind the fit, but I don't think he'll be the same player. Too many guys there, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. Who's the other guy I'm missing here?
Redick.
And then even the bench, TJ McConnell and all those guys that come off the bench. And they, yeah. I mean, they traded for James Ennis too today. So you know, it's going to be just.
And your boy Boban.
Yeah, Boban. Man, I'm so happy they traded Boban with him, dude. They have the best. They have the best Instagram stories, man. They're like brothers. They do like these little dances and stuff. I'm like, oh man, that's sweet. They traded him, but yeah, that's my opinion. I don't think it's going to be as high as before.
What about you?
I agree with Garrison. I think that Harris definitely takes a hit. I'm probably not going to play him until his DraftKings price comes down a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think his price is inflated right now because of the team he played for and the pace they played with. I do think that he's always been, throughout his career, an incredibly efficient player. So if that price does come down to where he's priced like a guy that's, you know, getting a ton of usage, his efficiency is so good that he could have some value at that point. But I think, you know, for right now, with the price that he's listed at, with the Clippers price still attached to him, I don't think I'm touching him. But if his price comes down to more what his usage is, he's always been very efficient with the minutes that he gets. So I'll definitely play some him, you know, maybe a month from now or so when his price is where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and get into the games for Friday. It's going to be, February the 9th, Friday, February 9th. And the first game on the slate here is going to be, the Philadelphia Sixers are on this slate, and it's the first game we got to talk about here. Denver Nuggets going to Philadelphia. Tim, what you got for this game?
Yeah, so that's actually my first note that I had here, is that I don't, you know, Tobias's price was not adjusted, or at least I feel like it wasn't adjusted after the trade for the usage he's probably going to get. And, you know, of course, neither are any of the other 76ers guys. So I'm kind of not really interested in any of the main Sixers guys except for Embiid. I think that it sets up a great spot for Embiid. He's going to play against Jokic, but I think this sets up for a good spot for him. I think that especially with Butler, I want to see how they're going to use him with Harris and, like Garrison said, some of those guys off the bench. So I'm kind of maybe on – I like Embiid a lot in this spot. And like I said, I'm passing on Harris until his price comes down. And then on the other side, on Denver – I really like Jamal Murray. It was his first game back after an injury last week or the other day, and he played 32 minutes. So I think he's going to continue seeing that same high usage role that he was seeing before. That means Morris is probably going to return to the bench but we're still going to see a lot of Malik Beasley. So I think he works out being a pretty good spot too. Obviously, I mentioned on the other side of Embiid in this game is Jokic, and I think that they're $200 apart on DraftKings. So I think that you kind of have to make a determination one way or the other. So I'm probably going to go with Embiid and then probably Murray on the other side in terms of guys I like in this game.
Yeah, I actually love Murray in this game for the exact reasons that you said there. I think that he, you know, came back and we were kind of worried about what his leashes would be. And he, I mean, he came back and he was just the same guy that he was before the injury. So I love me some Murray. His price has come down a little bit. He's only 6.7 on FanDuel. I know you play mostly on DraftKings, but I use FanDuel pricing just because I think their site's a little bit cleaner for me to look at. And he's 6.7, which is a great price for him at the usage that he gets with that team. So I love that play. What are your thoughts on this game, Gerson? And go ahead and talk about the Cavs in the Wizards game next as well.
I think that's a great game to target. Overall, Tim nailed all the plays. You're really just going to you're going to have to find value, obviously, to target that game. I love the Murray call. I honestly think Murray's a very underrated player, and he fit very well with that Nuggets team. But the Nuggets are a very unselfish team. That's what I love about them. I hate them sometimes because when they play the Jazz, they beat them, but whatever. I'm just glad we beat them last time. But because Jason went to that game, so I was like, I hope they win. But, yeah, that's my opinion on that game. For the next game, we got the New York Knicks and Detroit, right?
Now you're up, Cavs.
I have you Cavs in Washington.
Cavs in Washington? Oh, my bad. Then hold on, let me find that game real quick. Cavs in Washington, I mean, 220 over under. Washington's supposed to win by 10, dude. That's crazy. I mean, that's just two bottom tier teams that really just not that great, you know. And I think Trevor Ariza is going to be a big play in this game. He, you know, with Otto Porter Jr. again traded away and whatnot, it's going to be interesting. My question for this game is Kevin Love going to play?
I don't think he is. I haven't heard anything concrete one way or the other. But let me see if I can find this here. It looks like he's...
Yeah, I'm reading he's a game-time decision. So, really, I don't think we know yet at all.
So, I mean, if Kevin Love plays and the price he's at, that'd be crazy. I mean, like, if they say he's starting and he's okay, he's going to play. But you know how it is. With Kevin Love, they'll probably just say limited minutes, you know?
Yep.
But you got to keep an eye out for that. I mean, he's 5,000. That is extremely cheap for Kevin Love.
Yep.
You know? So, I mean, if he plays, it'll be different. But according to what I see on the Vegas spread, I think they're kind of leaning more like he's not going to play, you know? Yeah. But overall, I mean, just in that game, Bradley Beal is obviously a great play. I'm not really interested in any of the Cavaliers players. Maybe Colin Sexton and Larry Nance Jr. Both very, I mean, Sexton is 5,000, but I think there's another point guard I kind of want to target. I'm really targeting Beal and Trevor Ariza in this game. Not really Seth Sadaransky or whatever his name is. Last time I actually thought he was a good play, he ended up crapping the bed, so I kind of gave up on him. He either has big ass games, like 40 point games, or he has like a 14 point game. I'm like, dude, come on, man. But
Thomas Bryant too.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't think Jabari Parker is gonna play. I don't think Bobby Portis will play. So not interested in them. Yeah, I mean, that's basically my exposure right there. Mostly gonna be heavy on Trevor Ariza, and then I'll have some Bradley Beal too. But it's just Bradley Beal's not cheap. He's 9,400, but yeah, he has been balling out. I mean, he's kind of showing that, you know, I can be the franchise player too, you know. How about you build around me, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's my opinion on this game. Don't really have too much interest in a lot of the plays.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is going to come down to if any of these guys that were traded play, because if they do, all the guys we just mentioned probably lose some value. I think I'm looking at it now, and Bobby Portis is listed as game-time decision. Marquise Chris, who's now with the Cavs, listed as game-time decision. Jabari Parker, for some reason, is not listed as game-time decision. I don't know if they've already determined he's going to play or not, or they just kind of overlooked him. But if he plays at 4,200 and he gets any kind of minutes...
Oh, come on, dude.
What was that?
It's Jabari Parker. He could barely fit in with the Bulls. He's not going to fit in with Washington on a one day, you know.
True. But he might go there and put up like 40 shots if he gets any kind of minutes. You know how he likes to just shoot.
Yeah. Hey, one guy that Garrison didn't mention, and maybe this is just because of pricing, is Jeff Green. I think that like Ariza, he's going to see, he's already been seeing like 31 minutes. And I think that he might, you know, continue to see that. And he's only 5,300 on DraftKings. And he's put up like consistently mid-30s DraftKings points in his last few games. So anytime you're looking at somebody that has that, you know, almost a six times floor, I think he's probably in play. It's, they may have priced him that way because they're thinking that Parker or Portis or both may play. But if neither plays, I like Ariza, but I also like Jeff Green, too.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that as well. All right, let's go to the next game. Tim, you got what? The Knicks at Detroit. Who you like in this game?
Yeah, well, when I first looked up this game, I was like, man, this looks really familiar. And then I realized these teams just played each other on Tuesday. So obviously the big news from this game to that game is that the New York Knicks, I think, are buying out Wes Matthews. So he's not expected to play in this game. So they're expecting Damian Dotson to probably get the start. But other than that, man, it's almost like we're a run it back type game. So the one thing we saw in the game on Tuesday was that it was kind of the DSJ show. Since Dennis Smith Jr. has gotten to New York, Fizz has kind of let him run crazy a little bit, which is nice because Rick tried to tie him down a little bit in Dallas. So he's been able to showcase a little bit of what he can do. And, you know, good for him, man. He hopefully got to a better situation. Wish him nothing but luck up there. But, they didn't really adjust his price. So it's going to be hard for me not to go back to Dennis Smith Jr. in this spot. I think he's 5,600 or 5,800. So, I mean, he's, you know, if they're going to let him run around like that, score close to 40, 50 DraftKings points at 5,800, I think he's got to be in play. I'm not saying he's going to necessarily do that, but I think he's got, you know, good upside for a guy at 5,800.
Yep.
Nobody else really interests me on the New York side. DeAndre Jordan, they're saying, is going to continue to play, you know, 28, you know, somewhere in their minutes. But he kind of got schooled by Drummond the other night, and I really don't expect that to change with this game being in Detroit. I actually do kind of like Drummond, but I always feel like Blake and Drummond, like I never pick the right guy on the right night.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I play one guy, it's always the other one that goes off.
Yep.
So instinct is to say go back and play Drummond again because he's still a little bit cheaper. But then you're almost guaranteed that it's going to be a Blake game. So I like DSJ. If Dotson gets to start at 3,600, I think he's interesting. And then I suppose you can play Blake or Drummond.
All right, good stuff there. All right, Gerson, let's go to you. Any thoughts on that game? Anything different over on FanDuel with that game? And then go ahead and talk about the Chicago at Brooklyn net game.
I mean, I think Blake Griffin's in a great spot there against New York. I mean, I always try to play the big guys against New York. And with DeAndre Jordan being there, it makes a little bit of difference at the center position. But I guess it really, I'm just going to keep doing that thing where I just, if there's certain teams where I'm like, all right, well, I know centers are great against this team or that team, and Knicks are one of the teams, so Blake Griffin. Kevin Knox, he is 5,000. I mean, he's kind of an interesting price, so he becomes a really good value for me there. I think Alonzo Trier, coming off the bench, he's like almost 3,800, I believe. He could be a good value if he gets minutes. So I don't mind that call. But overall, Tim nailed it right on it. So, I mean, this game is just not a great game I really want to target too much, but there's some players, little players there and here and there, you know.
Yeah, I didn't mention this at the top, but of the games where we know what the over-under is going to be, this is not only the lowest one on the board, but it's the lowest by a lot. This game's at 206 over-under, and the other ones we have are all like 218 to 223. So not going to want a whole lot of exposure to this game, in my opinion.
Agreed, 100%. All right, Gerson, talk to us about the Bulls and Nets game.
Well, the Bulls traded like half of their team, and then they're going to waive like half of their team. I don't know what they're doing, dude. But Bobby Portis is no longer on the team. Jabari Parker is no longer on the team. Robin Lopez is supposed to get a buyout. So I'm pretty much looking at all the Lauri Markkanen. I think that's how you say his name.
Yep. Yeah,
I'm going to have a lot of exposure to Lauri Markkanen. And this game's a great game to target, even though it's two. I mean, I guess the Nets are actually a pretty decent team now. I repeat, it's 2008-19, and the Nets are actually a decent team. And the Bulls, well, they still suck. So, but overall, I think Lauri Markkanen is in a good position. I'm not going to have too much interest in Zach LaVine. He's 7,800. I guess he can play him because on FanDuel, he's 7,800. So on FanDuel, it's easier to fit those kind of players. But Markkanen can be my highest guy owned. But one guy I do have a lot of interest in is Jared Allen. Can't really see anybody really stopping him, getting rebounds, out-rebounding him. And I don't even know who's going to start at center for them. Because if Lauri Markkanen starts at power as center, Jared Allen can destroy him. I mean, Allen is a beast. He has, like, there's people that have, like, posters or whatnot, like, you know, where you dunk on someone.
Yeah.
Well, he has the other way around, the blocking poster where he blocks you, you know. And he plays hard. D'Angelo Russell is definitely going to be a target of mine in this game. He is priced up at 8,800, so kind of being contrarian. But other than that, I'm not really going to have too much interest in this game. Otto Porter Jr., I don't expect him to play. And if he does play at 6,800.
No thanks.
On a Brent. What?
Yeah, I said no thanks.
Yeah. On a new team over, I mean, he just, what? He's playing, Washington to Chicago is not that far away, right? So, I mean, well, I don't know where the last place he was at, but. And he was
warning. It might be time for your boy Felicio.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Cristiano Felicio. I was going to mention him.
Oh, man. He made it. Come on. Woo. Yeah.
We're asking who they're going to start at center, man. If they buy out Lopez, we might see the return of Cristiano Felicio.
That is not. And you know what? Here's the thing. Like I told you guys, I have certain teams that I attack. Well, the Brooklyn Nets, I always attack the center position. So if Cristiano Felicio starts, 3,500 for a center, I might just do it. But I'm not really interested anywhere else. I think the Nets have really done this rotation really weird. They'll have Rondae Hollis-Jefferson play. They'll have, like, what's his name?
Damari Carroll.
Caris LeVert is questionable to return, I believe, or probable. So I'm really not really targeting too many of those guys, but I'm going to have a lot of interest in those main three guys, Lauri Markkanen, Jared Allen, and D'Angelo Russell. I don't mind Zach LaVine, but I'm just not a big Zach LaVine fan.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Russell because you actually didn't mention him too much, and he had his price. I think he's pretty good. Last time he played against Chicago, he had 54 points. You know, obviously he's an all-star now, so that's kind of a little bit of motivation for him. He's 8,800 on FanDuel. It's a pretty good price for a guy. And like you mentioned with Chicago, I mean, they're going to be so shorthanded. It's one of those things where whoever plays, you're going to play them because there's just not enough guys there to really even fill out a roster yet until all those guys get, you know, settled in. So I could see a couple of Chicago guys that, you know, could make my rosters as well. All right, Tim, you want to mention anything about this game before we go to a break?
No, man. I love the marketing call. I think he was one of the first guys I looked at that I was going to look to lock in on my lineup. So I'll have a lot of exposure there as well.
All right, good stuff. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back. We'll tackle the rest of the slate.
Wait.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
All right, guys, welcome back. I'm here as always with Gerson and Tim, and we are talking NBA DFS. We just touched on the first four games on the slate. We're going to tackle the next four, but before we do that, I just want to thank our sponsor, StatRoute. They do an NFL and NBA product now. It's a lot of advanced stats. And if you use my promo code G42MBA, you get a free trial plus the 50% off your yearly subscription. It's a great tool. I use it a lot for the NFL because it does do a lot of cool things that no other site does. I mean, you can sort by weather, by first half and second half. You can sort by how a player does against a certain defensive coordinator, which is pretty cool. So if you want to see how, you know, so-and-so plays against, Wade Phillips' defense, you can check that kind of stuff out too. Really cool stuff. So check them out again, StatRoute.com. Use promo code G42MBA. All right, guys, let's go ahead and tackle this next game here. It's Milwaukee at Dallas. Of course, Dallas is Tim's team, so we're going to go to Tim for the scoop on this game. What you got, Tim?
Yeah, I always hate breaking down the Mavericks on a slate like this because I don't want to feel like I'm too much of a homer. Because they've traded four of their five starters in the last week. So I just feel like there's so much potential value in this game that it's hard for me not to look at more than a few Dallas guys in my lineup. So the first thing I wrote down was Dallas has all the value. Jalen Brunson, Dorian Finney-Smith, Maxi Kleber, I think they're all in play at their current prices. I even think that Tim Hardaway Jr. is interesting at 4,900. I said earlier that the New York game was the lowest over-under currently on the slate, and I think this one's the highest at 223. Milwaukee is currently an 8-point favorite, but it's in Dallas, and Dallas tends to keep games close at home unless they're playing, I expect this game to be sub 10-point game, so I think everybody's going to play. Obviously, the big news I see on this one you mentioned earlier is that Chris Middleton is not going to play. He's going to be held out for rest. Giannis is currently probable, but there is a possibility he doesn't play this game, so obviously if that's the case, it's probably the biggest news on the slate. Obviously, Luka fever has taken over Dallas. So I want to tell you, go in and lock in Luka. But I think at least 9,500 on DraftKings, I think that his price has kind of come up to be at the point where you're making a decision between, him and a lot of the top guys on the slate. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to go and lock button Luka like I want to do. But I do think that there's some value on the Mavericks that you're probably going to want to get into your lineup. That's kind of the big thing on the Mavericks. Like I said, you really got to watch for who's going to end up starting for the Bucks. That's going to make the big determination where you're going to play there. Otherwise, there's obviously potential value there as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think I mentioned it to you before the show that I'm kind of watching that injury with Giannis to see if he actually plays. I mean, he is probable, which in the NFL probable means he's probably going to play. In the NBA, it could mean a rest game. It could be, he probably could not play, especially with these top guys. They tend to sit out when they're probable. And like I mentioned to you earlier, it's like, Giannis, if he misses, Chris Middleton's out. The last time that Giannis missed a game, it was Ersan Ilyasova that got the start. He's currently priced at 3,600 on FanDuel. If he does get the start, especially with Chris Middleton out as well, he could be a good value. I think the last time he played with Giannis out, he got 27 FanDuel points, and that was with Chris Middleton still playing. So without Chris Middleton there as well, they also traded for Mirotić, who's not going to play either. So that team's pretty shorthanded. Ersan Ilyasova. He's a good play there. All right, Gerson, let's go to you. Let's talk about this game a little bit and then get on to one of the highest-paced games on the slate next, the Warriors and the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, injury is going to be a big, big kind of deal in this game. It's Giannis and I'm sorry, I'm thinking about the NBA All-Star draft that happened today. It was funny. It's Giannis and Middleton are both out. This is going to be like, I've seen this situation play out before too. I mean, we've had it where both of them are out. I mean, Bledsoe would be Brogdon. Well, they don't have Thonmaker no more, so he wouldn't play. So, I mean, overall, just most of the Ersin, Brook Lopez, I mean, everybody's value would go up, and basically your whole lineup is going to look like a bunch of sprinkles of the Milwaukee Bucks. Because, I mean, this matchup is a pretty good matchup for them. There's a reason, I mean, there's a reason why it's paced up high, and what's their name? The over-under is still high, you know, even with all those probables and whatnot. But overall, Golden State Warriors and
the Phoenix Suns.
Phoenix Suns. Oh, man. Well, I always say blowout don't matter, but
it might matter in this one.
It might matter in this one. So, and Tim knows this because I'm pretty sure people, a lot of people kind of like, I take a lot of criticism from this, but I always say I'm a GPP player, so I take more risk than I take a lot of risk for the reward, you know? Yep. So in this game, not really looking to target any of the top guys. And they are priced down. I mean, they're not expensive. I mean, Durant is 9,800, Stephen Curry, 9,200, Cousins, 7,500, Clay, 7,000, and Draymond, 6,700. But this is more like a trap because you really think about it. If they're up by like 30 in the third quarter, which is it's realistic in this game, I mean, I don't think Phoenix is going to – I mean, I don't think Curry is going to play them. I mean, I think the other – I haven't been playing NBA lately the last 3 days because – I hate playing when the trade deadline happened.
Yeah.
But I did see something where Kerr made a joke, or Steve Kerr made a joke where he's like, oh, we're not going to give the load to the whole team or something like that. I don't know what it was. I was like, does that mean like they haven't been playing or what's going on, you know? But I do like DeMarcus Cousins in this spot because I always play center versus Phoenix. And DeMarcus Cousins will own DeAndre Ayton. And if DeMarcus Cousins plays 25 minutes, I can see him matching value at 7,500, getting like 40 points or so. So yeah. I like DeMarcus Cousins probably the most. After that, Devin Booker is quite a game-time decision, which he's questionable with a hamstring. I don't know what his final status could be, but overall, I mean, if he plays 8,400, I mean, still pretty expensive with the Golden State Warriors, you know. I don't really want him, but I do like Klay Thompson in this game. Klay Thompson, this is like a Klay Thompson game. This is the perfect Klay Thompson game. I mean, he can get you 40 points in three quarters against this team. Nobody can guard him. Let's see. The Phoenix Suns made a couple of trades, didn't they? They got Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, and they got rid of Marquise Chris, I believe, too. He's not the longer there.
Yeah, they got rid of Marquise. Well, no, Marquise Chris or?
Yeah,
Marquise Chris. Yeah, I think it was Marquise Chris.
And Brandon Knight.
Brandon Knight's still in the league. Wow.
Those guys played for the Houston Rockets. They didn't play for the Phoenix Suns.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, overall, I think Josh Jackson, 6,900, is a little bit too rich for my blood. I mean, I understand he's been doing pretty good lately. I mean, overall, 34 points, 42 points. But against the Golden State Warriors, it's a little bit of a different story, but you can play him, but 6,900 in a blowout.
It was Ryan Anderson they traded
away. Ryan Anderson, yeah. I knew there was somebody there that was traded. Basically a useless trade.
Yeah.
All right. So we all knew it was someone that sucked.
Okay. Yes.
I can see this being a pretty good game for Draymond, actually, because Draymond, he gets a lot of steals and blocks, and against this team, he can get those peripheral stats. But I think my main targets are going to be DeMarcus Cousins, Klay Thompson, and Draymond. I'm not touching Tyler Johnson playing with that really young team of the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
I mean, if they say he's starting, I don't even know if FanDuel has him. Yeah, he's 4,700. If they say he's starting, I bet that'd be crazy because I don't know how you're going to learn. I don't know how NBA works, but when I played in high school and everything, you had to memorize a couple of plays and whatnot, you know? But yeah, he's 4,700. So if they say he's starting, he's playing full slate a minute, that's a miracle. But overall, this game, there's a reason why the blowout factor does matter in this game. And there's not even I don't know why, there's not a over-under on this game, huh?
Yeah, because they're probably waiting for the Devin Booker. They want to know if it's going to be a 20-point underdog or a 25-point underdog.
Right. Not that much of a difference, right? So overall, I mean, I can see people playing DeAndre Ayton. I'm not gonna. He's 7,300. And again, this game is one game that definitely has a blowout factor for me.
Yeah, I agree. And then just to go back to your Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Now, I haven't watched a ton of Warriors games this year because I got moved to my job and I can't stay up that late to watch those games. But I know in the past, and you know, y'all can probably attest to this because y'all live, you know, on the West Coast or more West than I do. So y'all might stay up and watch these games. But Draymond Green and Klay Thompson were always the last starters taken off the court in blowouts. A lot of times those two guys stayed on, you know, when Curry was on the bench and KD was on the bench, they were still out there doing their thing. So in a blowout, those two guys at their price point could still get, you know, some pretty good numbers there. So I like that call, those two calls a lot. And then I do kind of like Kelly Oubre Jr. too. He's been pretty good lately at 6.7 in a pace-up game for them. Well, I don't know if you can call it a pace-up game. You're already a pretty high-paced team, but he's been playing really well lately, and I think that, you know, even if he, you know, they get blown out, I think he stays in the game for most of it and still wants to show out for his new team. So I think Oubre could be a good play as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy because the last time we did a show, we were talking about Oubre right after, you know, he was just joined the team, you know, starting to get put in the rotation. And I was like, oh, you know, you got to catch this guy before his price catches up to him. He was like 4,300. You say he's now 6,700.
Yep.
I mean, that just goes to show you. I think the one play is if Booker doesn't play, I'm a little interested in Josh Jackson just because I think that he'll probably get some more usage there. If Booker plays, he takes like 15 shots, and if Booker doesn't play, he takes like 20 shots.
Right.
So you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a huge difference, but anytime you increase, you know, somebody's usage like that, I'm always interested. And then other than that, I think Garrison pretty much nailed it. One of the first things I wrote down on this game was, looks like a Klay game. Because like you said, there's a blowout factor there. He tends to run a lot of the offense when there's a blowout and stay in the game till near the end, so... But if there's one Warrior I'm looking at here, it's probably Klay.
I feel like our buddy Asante is the biggest Klay Thompson guy. He's like, this is a Klay day.
Klay day.
Klay for all the money.
All right, Tim, you might have the most interesting game to talk about with the Timberwolves going to the Pelicans. Of course, they traded a power forward, but it wasn't Anthony Davis. It was Mirotić. So what's going on in this game here, Tim?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the big news in this game is that Anthony Davis is not only expected to play, but is expected to play, at least for now, a full slate of minutes. They came out and said that they're going to return him to the rotation. If we get news before the slate that he's going to play something like 18 minutes, then I'm not as interested. But if he's going to play 28, 30, you know, plus minutes, I really like AD in this spot. I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like lately, like Karl-Anthony Towns has just been getting wrecked by everybody who's played against him. So you get Anthony Davis. He's now fully healthy. He's at home, and he gets to return and kind of show, hey, I'm still Anthony Davis, man. So this looks like a spot for him, you know, at least with the news that we have as right now. Speaking of news we have right now, Ejuan Moore is expected to be back for the game tomorrow. If he is, I'm not really interested in him. But in his absence, we've really seen the kind of explosion of this Kendrick Williams. Mm-hmm. I think, last time we did a podcast, we were talking about him as a 3,000 guy on DraftKings, a min price who had just gotten 10 rebounds. And here we are, like, whatever, a week later, and he's 5K, and I'm still interested in playing him if Ejuan sits. So, like you said, with Mirotić gone and Ejuan coming back, even if he does play, I still think he's probably going to stay in the high 20s in terms of minutes. It could be Darius Miller, but I think I like Williams a little bit better. And then Julius Randle. I mean, that's going to be the big thing here. I think that they've already given him a ton of minutes, but he was, you know, sometimes coming off the bench, and I think he's kind of locked into that four role or, you know, that role for them. So he's interesting here. I don't think I'm going to play him if I end up playing AD, but, you know, I think that Randle is somebody, like you were talking about earlier, impacts of trades. I think that we might see them use Randle even more than they have been. So he might be something to keep an eye on moving forward.
Yeah, there's one more guy in the Pels I wanted to just mention. And this could be a result of Anthony Davis not playing the last few games, but he was starting to pick it up even before that. And that's Diallo. He's 4,400 on FanDuel. He's got three straight games of 30-plus points. And one of those games, I believe, goes back to – well, actually, Davis was out with the injury in that one as well. So – It could be just the Davis injury, but he's been very efficient in the minutes he's been giving. I mean, he's got a game where he played 22 minutes at 18 points, 9 rebounds in 22 minutes. That's pretty efficient. You know, with Mirotić now gone, and, you know, he could possibly be one of those guys that pop, or he could be one of those guys that just, you know, go back to the bench, and AD and Julius Randle take up all the minutes. But he's just someone I want to keep an eye on a little bit over the next few days.
Yeah, one guy I didn't mention that I want to go over because we had talked about him previously on the show was Jared Bayless. I think he's somebody else whose price has kind of caught up to him. And then I'm reading that tomorrow he's supposed to be, what, questionable. I think that, you know, he's probably going to play. But even if he does, I think his price has kind of caught up to the point. And I mentioned earlier that Dennis Smith Jr. is $5,800. He's $5,600. So I think for that price, I'm probably going to play Dennis Smith Jr. But if he does play and, you know, it looks like he's healthy and good to go, I think he's still interesting because obviously the Timberwolves are just, you know, killed it at point guard right now.
Yep, yep. What about Drew Holiday? Any interest in Drew Holiday at 9,400? Well, on FanDuel, he's 9,400.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of looking at him. I mean, like we said, I think a big part of the reason his price is where it is because he's been getting so much usage with AD out. I'm interested to kind of see how that changes.
Yep.
If he returns to what he was before, where he could be like a, you know, 10-point guy and with like 6 assists or like a 20-point guy with 12 assists, like we just don't know what guy you're going to get. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm less interested until we see. If we're seeing that they're going to go right back to how they were before, I think he's more of an 8K guy than a 9K guy.
Agreed. All right, Garrison, give us your thoughts on this game and then bring us home with the last game with the Heat and the Kings.
I am not playing Drew Holiday at that 9,400 price with the Anthony Davis back. I don't know. Frank Jackson might start again. I don't know who starts, to be honest. I haven't been following New Orleans too much. I mean, I just play. Has Frank Jackson been the one starting?
It's been Frazier starting, but they've been splitting minutes. I think Frazier's been starting, but Frank Jackson's been splitting minutes almost evenly. They're like 20-20, basically.
Oh, that's dumb. Okay, I have no interest there. I don't know if you mentioned him, but Andrew Wiggins in this game at 6,000 on FanDuel is a pretty good game, a pretty good price, and these are type of games that he actually excels at. I don't really fear New Orleans as a great defensive team. I think Drew Holiday is a good defensive player, but it's on certain players. And what's his name? Andrew Wiggins, 6,000. I mean, I'll take that. Julius Randle, man. I think he's one of the most underrated players in fantasy, I guess you can say. Not really in real life, but 8,300. It's a little bit expensive. I don't know if I really want to target that, but I wish Anthony Davis was just out. This game would be so much more appealing.
Agreed.
It is appealing, though. I mean, overall, you're going to have to target some players. With Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose already doubtful or out, I can see the Jared Bayless play. But what's his name? If Anthony Davis plays, this is a great, great game to target him.
Yep.
Agreed.
If he plays full minutes and everything, a lot of people are probably not even going to play him because they're scared of that price tag. It's 13,000. You know, they're scared of, like, you know, he's sad because he's not going to the Lakers, or, you know, Rick Paul told him, hey, you know what, we'll get revenge on them, just average 5 points every night, okay? You know, I don't know, something like that. But I love Anthony Davis. But the Sacramento and Miami Heat game, they traded away Tyler Johnson, so this opens up some very good value, and I'm probably going to have a lot of exposure to Deion Waiter at 4,300. Definitely love him. Bam Adebayo has actually been doing okay lately, but Justice Winslow, I don't know, this guy is either FanDuel pays him or what, but they just keep lowering his price, and I think he's actually a very good player in this game. This high-paced game, you know, overall, Sacramento doesn't really fear me. Like we said early on, they're just like an all-around team, you know?
Yep.
How much is Winslow on FanDuel?
5,800.
Okay.
He's like really, I mean, I guess that's cheap, right, Jeff?
That's not bad. I think I usually put value at 5,500 or below, and he's just above that, so that's a pretty cheap price.
So I mean, I know he hasn't done very well, but like in the last three games, but before that, he was getting like 30-point game, 26, 39. You know, he has a ceiling, but then he also has like a really bad floor, you know? Yeah. But I think in this game, the high pace game, with the over under on it right now, 218, and it's supposed to be a close game. So I don't mind Justice Winslow. Willie Cauley Stein, 5,400, you know, against Hassan Whiteside. I think Hassan is like one of the most annoying players to even consider playing.
Agreed.
He either gets you 25 points because he argued with his coach or something, or he goes off for like, what did he get last time? Like 60 points, 50 points?
Yeah.
58 points, you know? I mean, it's so, just look at those minutes. I mean, 15 minutes, 19 minutes, and then he got 30-30.
Yeah,
it's like, dude. But in this game, I do like Hassan Whiteside, but you just have to cross your fingers and pray for the best. But De'Aaron Fox is in a good spot, too. 7,500. I like De'Aaron Fox at 7,500. I don't mind him, but overall, they're at Sacramento. I think Sacramento plays much better at home than on the road. So, those are the guys I'm going to target. I understand the Buddy Hield play, but 6,500 for Buddy Hield for me is not something I'm really enticed about. I mean, he has been doing good lately, though, right? He had a pretty big game the other night.
Yeah, the other night he had a huge game.
Yeah.
Are you interested in Dwayne Wade at all?
Oh man,
he's 5K on DraftKings, and he's been getting consistently like mid 20s in terms of minutes. So
yeah, I mean,
I'm a little interested.
I get it, but he's 6,300 on FanDuel. Oh,
okay. Yeah, FanDuel's probably a little too expensive. I like him better on DraftKings.
Yeah.
And okay, that makes sense.
And he has played pretty heavy minutes the last two games. I mean, but he's going to be rested on, I think this is going to be like, what, 3-day rest now?
Yep, exactly. So,
he did get a 39-point game. And I feel like Dwayne Wade right now is kind of trying to turn it on because he knows this is the last month of his career, like the last couple of months.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess I don't mind it on DraftKings, but on FanDuel, you can have some sprinkles of him, but don't go too crazy, you know? And I'll be honest, man, I'm just watching, like, Dwayne Wade. He's just like, I kind of didn't appreciate, like, what he did before. Like, now I think about it, I'm like, damn, dude, he was a good player, you know?
Yeah.
Probably, in my opinion, top five shooting guard of all time, you know, for sure. People might hate on me, but whatever. I think he's that good. I don't think I have any interest in anybody else.
What about any interest in Alec Burke at 5,100?
Oh, yeah, huh? He got traded to the Sacramento, right?
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know if he's going to have a role in this game.
Yeah, I'm saying if he plays, obviously. We got to see if he plays.
Yeah, I mean, he does play. I mean, he's a much better offensive player than Shumpert. But so the main guys I'm going to target probably Hassan Whiteside. Oh, Marvin Bagley. I don't know why, but we forgot about him on the last podcast. I cannot forget about him again. Marvin Bagley is a beast. He's a monster. He's starting to turn it, like, on, like, the last couple games, last game he had an okay game, 10-10, two blocks. But the game before, he had a 24-point game, 12 rebounds, and three blocks and a steal. This guy's like a double-double machine. Now that he's getting his full slate a minute, I think in this game, it's going to be a pretty good game to target him. So I'm probably going to have more exposure to those guys that I mentioned. Beware Hassan Whiteside. You just got to cross your fingers.
Yeah, he is definitely one that is very volatile. And just to go back to Bagley, he's got four straight games now with a double-double. So, as you mentioned, he's a double-double machine. So I think he's definitely got a good floor and a good ceiling just because of that fact. Any more comments on this one, Tim?
No, man. He pretty much hit it. I was looking at Bagley, too. And like you said, they caught on, man, because they raised his price $1,000.
Yep.
He's kind of at that point now where you need him to get that double-double almost.
All right. Mm-hmm. We're going to skip the this or that segment tonight because we had the free agent segment, but we will do our half-court shot. So let's go ahead and get that started.
Time for Curry from half court. It's gone! He banks it in!
All right, guys. Half-court shots. Tim, we'll start with you over on DraftKings. Half-court shot, of course, if you don't know, it's the our top value, sort of not even top value, our low owned super sneaky play that you may not want to have much exposure to that could have a big game. Tim, who you got?
Yeah, I said that I like all the value on Dallas. It's going to be hard for me to pick just one, but I think that I'm going to go with Dorian Finney-Smith. I think more people are probably going to play Jalen Brunson, but I think with Harrison Barnes out, he's probably the favorite to pick up a lot of the minutes in that usage, and he's the cheapest of all of them at 3,900. So he's probably somebody I'm going to have a good bit of exposure to.
All right, good stuff. What about you, Gersten, on FanDuel? Who you like as your half-court shot?
Wait, who is your guy, Tim? You
said Dorian Finney-Smith.
Finney-Smith. Yeah, I was hammered Brunson, but I took Finney-Smith because I think he'll be lower owned.
Okay. Well, it's just I wasn't prepared for this, so I do apologize about that.
If you want,
I can't name a value that's an obvious value. You know, I could give you a value, but like if I said, okay, well, my value is gonna be.
I think. Gerson, you should take Cristiano Felicio. That should be your guy.
You know what? You know, good. I'm going. If he starts, or you know what, he's gonna have to play minutes, right? They have no one else.
They have no one else. He's got to play.
Yeah.
I'm going with our boy Cristiano.
All right,
let's go, baby.
All right, I'm gonna go with the guy that I mentioned. I'm just gonna assume that Giannis misses his game. I don't know why. If he plays, obviously don't play this guy. But I'm gonna go with Ersan Ilyasova at 3,600 on FanDuel. And I'm just going to assume that Giannis sits this one out. And I believe that Ersan can get in the high 20s, low 30s with a start in this game. So that's the guy I'm going to go with. All right, guys, that wraps the show up for tonight. Again, we're always live every Tuesday and Friday night. Tonight is Thursday, obviously. We had to postpone it till Thursday because some things came up in my life. But Friday slate should be an awesome slate. The trade deadline is now done. In a few weeks, we'll have the All-Star game, and we'll all be kind of fiending for something to do because there'll be no DFS to play. But I hope y'all tuned in next Tuesday, and we'll get this thing going again. All right, for Tim, for Gerson, I'm Jeff. Again, follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Peace.
Go, Jeff, go.
Shut it down. Let's go home.